Hey, Kevin here. Hope you're enjoying the episode.
Hey, who are you talking to, Kevin?
Listeners of our shows. I also want to let them know that if they're enjoying what we've been doing, they can support us on Patreon.
Oh, Patreon. Were you going to tell them about the early episodes? Also, Patreon-exclusive episodes that can be found there, too?
Well, yeah, I was going to do
And then there's the other cool stuff, including art, merch for subscribers, like tote bags, hoodies, shirts, mugs.
Yeah, and
can you believe people could support us for only $5 a month? You're definitely going to mention that too, right?
I was. Support Supernatural Selection and the Distraction Hole on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. Visit patreon.supernaturalselectionpod.com to learn more and get started today. I was actually waiting for Kick-Ass-A-Tron to, like, ask me if I was recording for a second before I did our typical countdown, because we've done a spooky dice bag more recently, and, like, it threw me off. So, that being said, hello and welcome to Supernatural Selection. I'm your host, Kevin. With me this week are Mike the Skeptic. Mike, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Anything cool?
No. Okay. No? I'm doing just average. How's that? Okay. I'm sorry. I oversold that.
Okay. Yeah. You had some meatloaf, though, so that's a plus. Yeah. Right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I had enchiladas, and my butt is very angry.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And that voice, of course, we also have Mr. David Davis. David, how are you?
I'm doing okay. We had a pasta with, I think, like beef, tomatoes, used an egg to kind of like bind some stuff together, and did in a casserole dish and like, fried cheese on top of it. It was good.
Goddamn, son. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Well, this week, it's a week in weird. And, you know, I want to thank everybody that's been watching the show on YouTube. Some videos, you know, they don't get that too many views, but some, like, are way more than I expected. So, thank you if you're listening to this on YouTube right now. We appreciate it. And, yeah, we'll try to address comments when we get them here on the show. So, we won't be replying in the comment section. And we'll start doing that some next week. But this week, we're going to talk about some very stupid stories, most likely.
Yeah.
So, what we'll do, since I know Mike was getting his stuff up, we'll go me, David, Mike. Is that cool? Anybody want to Thunderdome it, or we're good?
Nope. Works for me.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Well, my first story, I found this. I was like, well, this is a have-to kind of story. It's actually from May 26th. So, last month, it's on TechSpot, and the article's by Zoe Ahmed. And the article is, the CIA used a Star Wars fan website to secretly communicate with spies.
Yeah.
The Force wasn't the only thing hiding in this website. And it has a screenshot, and it's got, like, you know, pictures of various Star Wars stuff like Yoda from Clone Wars, and like the banner is like a little kid dressed as Obi-Wan.
Aww.
It's and like old Obi-Wan, not young Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so through the looking glass, the internet has seen its fair share of weird, but a Star Wars fan site secretly run by the CIA to communicate with overseas spies might top the list. StarWarsWeb.net looked like any other 2010s era fan site, complete with lightsabers, Yoda quotes, like these games you will, Lego ads, and hyped up mentions of games like Battlefront 2 and The Force Unleashed 2. But behind that nostalgic facade was a covert login system. If you enter the right password into the search bar, you'd unlock a secure line to CIA handlers, or at least that was the plan. This bizarre piece of intel comes courtesy of Ciro Santilli, an independent researcher with a knack for rooting around the dusty corners of the web.
Now, the problem is, that name sounds like a Star Wars character name.
Yeah, Ciro Santilli?
Yes, like somewhere on Coruscant somewhere. Yeah. There's some, you know, rebellion spy named Ciro Santilli.
Maybe it's an alias.
Yep, him and his partner Glub Shitto. But anyway, Ciro told the website 404 Media.
Mm.
Santilli took it upon himself to dig deeper after a Reuters uncovering piece titled America's Throwaway Spies revealed a handful of suspicious domains back in 2022. Armed with little more than open source tools, web dev know-how, and apparently endless patience, he ended up uncovering hundreds of similar sites. As it turned out, the Star Wars page was just one star in a galaxy of CIA-run covert communication sites.
Jesus.
Oh, this is great. There were comedy pages. I bet it's something awful, Mike. That was the front page that no one ever looked at.
That'd be funny, but no.
Yeah. Extreme sports sites, and even a Brazilian music fan page. Some were clearly geared toward users in states like Iran and China, where their discovery led to devastating consequences, including the execution of CIA sources around 2011 and 2012. But others appeared to target France, Germany, Spain, and Brazil. The fatal flaw, according to Santilli and the Reuters report, was that many of these sites were sloppily coded reusing sequential IP addresses or other easily traceable breadcrumbs.
Mm.
Once one site was found, identifying others was often just a matter of basic detective work. This was something Iranian and Chinese counterintelligence teams apparently figured out over a decade ago. You could read this in more detail on Santilli's write-up. Despite the deadly fallout, this digital forensics saga is now a cold case. Santilli describes it as being like a museum, saying that thanks to the Wayback Machine, people can still go back and view the site. All said, 15 years later, the CIA's attempt at geek-coded spycraft remains a cautionary tale that even intelligence agencies are only human, and that on the internet, your secrets have a shelf life.
Mm.
Now, I find this fascinating, to be
honest. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because, what sites did I used to go to that probably turned out to be CIA websites?
That's exactly it. Like, all those, Ate My Balls websites where they all just CIA ops.
Oh, my God. God, man, you're the man now, dog.
Yep.
Like, probably CIA asset shit. It makes me think of number stations, but dumber.
We almost need to get, a list of these and just kind of, go through them one day for, a distraction hole just to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a great idea. We should do that. Yeah. So, hang on. I have a new note widget on my desktop, and I will add that. But what do you think? If you guys had to speculate about a website you used to go to that was a CIA site, what do you think it is?
I don't know. It depends on when. So this was when? Around 2010s?
Yeah. But I'm willing to wager they had stuff like this back in the early 2000s as well.
Yeah. I'm just going to say DeviantArt because that'd be really, really funny.
That would be fucking hilarious. It would also explain why it sucks so bad now.
Back when it had, the olive green look.
Oh, I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss DeviantArt being, well, it was never good, but better.
Yeah, it had that very, like, pixel bordered look, and everything was, like, kind of olive green, and they relied on a lot of emojis.
Fucking
like custom emojis.
Fucking llamas everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if it was any site I went to, there was this one website called TMBG Spy. It was a They Might Be Giants fan site. And the whole thing was there was this one page that was simply labeled TMBG Spy Chicken. And you clicked on it, and there was a picture of a KFC from the 70s somewhere here in the country. And it was like this giant white wedge on the building that they had put like an eyeball, a chicken's comb, and a beak. And just, I'm not going to say Photoshop. They like MS painted the words TMBG Spy on the chicken. And they had a form where you could type in, it said, what do you think about the chicken? And you can just type shit in. And that was probably a CIA website.
Yeah, especially when you start seeing, you know, package secured, package received.
Yeah.
The guest book.
Yeah. It was, I don't know.
Could you imagine if they used a site like Pornhub and on certain videos, you have to, like, leave a comment for your CIA handler on a certain video?
Yeah.
Like, stepmom gets stuck in Abrams' tank.
Oh, God.
And then, you know, you know, to let your handler know that you got through the mission, just put, I completed.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's terrible. How about you, Mike? What sites do you think were CIA handlers for you?
I can't think of any. I mean,
what was
other
it,
than the obvious.
What was that weird adult verification thing that some sites used to use?
I don't remember now.
Because one of our friends used your password.
Oh, yeah. No, it was one of those things. It was supposed to be, so it was, I think it was like age check or something. It had like a very just, you know,
generic
pedestrian name. But it was like, the thing is, you like pay like some amount, like $10 or something like that. And, like, it would, any website that supported it would just, you'd use that as your age verification. And thing is, I only paid for it once, and it continued to work. Like, I never had to renew it, even though it was supposed to be only for a year.
Uh-huh. So, and it kept going for, like, years.
Yeah, I don't think anything even used it anymore. But, yeah, for, like, I don't know, 5-6 years, some websites used it.
Oh, that was for sure the CIA, though.
Nah. If anything, E-bombs world, just because I never liked them.
Yeah.
Again, no, I know, rotten.com.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit, there you go.
I could see that, definitely. That's, yeah, the way you let it know, if you go to any video or photo of, like, a horrible, like, gory accident, and you just type in, I came, and that's how you get in.
And see, the problem is these aren't like, you know, they're not tracking the people that visit there. It's just front for, you know.
It's how you log in.
Which is weird. You'd think they would just use a obscure URL that just had like a under construction page. That's what I would do.
Or, you know, it's CIA. They probably would have just made CIA covert login.net.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I understand the need for having something that's memorable, but the fact that they went to the length to make it, I think this was some Star Wars nerd working at the CIA that was able to get his like website funded through saying that it needed to be a credible front.
Oh, that's great, man. But you know, with the CIA, I kind of would have thought it would have been a B5 website.
Well,
you know, big picture of Londo Malari and his hair. Yeah. Anyway, I just found that fascinating.
Yeah,
I love the whole covert, CIA stuff. It's very Numbers Station. It's a little X-Files. I just think it's neat.
It's a little bit country. It's a little bit rock and roll.
Sure. Well,
and the fact that the site had like what was then fairly recent Star Wars news means you had someone on government payroll updating what is essentially a Star Wars fan site.
God, some guy had to sit there and go, all right, what's Filoni doing now?
Here's the thing. It was the Star Wars nerds. He's the one that maintained it. He's like, well, if I'm going to maintain the site, it's going to be something and get paid for it. It's going to be something I enjoy.
That's
like,
true.
Did it have a built-in community where it was just like normies talking Star Wars in a discussion board? And
oh,
then...
my God, I hope so. Oh, my God, just not even knowing.
It's like, you know, it's like when in the movies there's like a dance club or something, and below it is like, you know, the criminal operation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nobody knows.
Yeah, there's a dance club, and then you go through the door, and it's the secret vampire dance club.
Like, literally, it's just a PHBB board, and there's like a private board within it.
Yes. 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 It's just like a Blade movie. So anyway, that was my first one for the night, and I was like, this is, I normally don't get to do these, so.
Yeah, no, it's goofy, I like it.
Yeah, bam. So David, what you got for us?
All right, this is from Cameron Greiser at CNN, published on the 17th. First methane-powered sea spiders found crawling on the ocean floor.
Okay, I saw that headline today and showed it to Mike. Because it had that headline followed by that meme of the woman and the close-up that says, the what?
Yeah. Yeah, no, this has wants to be a picture on the spiders here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fuck those things. In general, on principle, fuck those things.
Yeah. Let's see. So heat-trapping methane may be best known for the dangers it poses to humans and Earth's atmosphere. But in the dark depths of the ocean, the greenhouse gas is a nourishing meal for some of the world's most mysterious creatures, new research suggests. Scientists say they have... yes?
Just a spider going, farts.
Right. Scientists say they have discovered three previously unknown unnamed species of sea spider off the U.S. West Coast that could be teaming up with bacteria to thrive off gas bubbling from the seafloor in sparsely studied marine habitats known as methane seeps, thousands of feet below the Earth's surface. In this symbiotic relationship, bacteria take up real estate on the spider's exoskeletons, and in return, the microbes convert carbon-rich methane and oxygen into sugars and fats that the spiders can eat. According to a study published Monday in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, quote, just like you would eat eggs for breakfast, the sea spider grazes the surface of its body and munches all those bacteria for nutrition. Okay, wait. Just like you would eat eggs for breakfast, the spider grazes. I don't put my eggs on my body and scrape them off my body to eat them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I typically don't crawl around in an egg vent and then eat what's on me.
Yeah, I don't have a nude person lie in front of me and eat like Pop-Tarts off them like a sushi thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is a very... weird American Yakuza you're discussing here.
Is that a bear claw? You just happen to see me. Anyway, a quote from Shana Jaffredi, a professor and chair of biology at Occidental College in Los Angeles and the study's principal investigator. This unique nutrition strategy has never been observed in sea spiders before, she said. Other species of sea spiders share more in common with their terrestrial cousins, using large tube-like fangs to capture, immobilize, and suck the fluids from soft-bodied prey, such as jellyfish. But lab observations of the newfound species, part of the Cericocera genus, revealed they lack the necessary appendages to capture prey, making them more akin to farmers harvesting methane-fueled bacteria from their own bodies. It's possible the spiders and their hitchhiking microbes play a crucial role in preventing methane, a natural gas thought to exacerbate global warming, from reaching Earth's atmosphere, according to Jaffredi. Quote, while the deep sea feels very far away, all organisms are interconnected. Even though they're small, these animals have a big impact in that environment. We can't ever hope to sustainably use the oceans if we don't really understand the oceans. So, and there's a couple more sections here. I don't know how much you want me to read on this.
It's interesting, and I'm afraid that they're gonna die when some dumbass, like, accidentally spills Jägermeister over them.
So, apparently, a lot of their organs are found in their appendages.
So they got, like, spleen legs.
Yeah, yeah. To mate, the female spiders shoot hundreds of eggs from their kneecaps.
What the fuck?
Which the male spiders collect into sack-like bundles looped around their legs like bracelets.
Do you remember Star Trek VI when Kirk kicked the guy in the knee and he fell down and Iman said not everyone keeps their genitals in the same place?
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Once the eggs hatched, Freddy's team noticed the bacteria living on the father spiders attached itself to the hatchlings, providing them with an early source of food. Oh, wow, that's super interesting.
That is very symbiotic.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting, but yeah, like, they found, like, three of these new spiders that have this unique way of consuming.
Wow.
And collected on different areas of the coast of Southern California and Alaska.
It would be the West Coast, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Y'all got the weird shit over there.
Yeah, because there are other, like, creatures that feed on methane, tube worms and sponges, but, like, the spiders are seemingly unique here. Interesting.
Very. Yeah, I never heard of that. That's weird. Especially the, you know, coming out of your kneecaps thing.
Yeah, no, that's also kind of a fun little reveal. Like, oh yeah, they shoot eggs out of their joints.
Yeah, I kind of feel like maybe you buried the lead there.
Right.
I feel like the knee eggs is the more fascinating part of it for me.
And they got cum feet.
Cum feet and knee eggs. They're cops.
And, you know, bacteria, what make them live?
Methane bacteria.
That's crazy, dude. That's pretty fun.
Fart spiders with cum knees. To summarize, oh man, that is so fucking weird. I love that we can still discover animals all, you know, in the 21st century.
They're just batshit crazy.
Now, admittedly, it's not a chupacabra.
Yeah.
But, like, you know.
What you gonna do?
Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah.
Do you think it could, like, kill it? How big are they?
They're small. They're small. Oh. I'm just going through and reading the comments.
Uh-huh.
From CNN user 5916 2 days ago. Well, that explains all the spiders living in my underwear. Guess I need to cut down on the fiber.
God damn trolls. God fucking damn it. Oh, hell. Okay. How's that make us feel?
I think it's
inadequate.
Cool.
Mike, what'd you say?
Inadequate. I don't eat farts and come out my knees, so, you know.
I
feel lacking.
Do you feel like that would make your life better?
It couldn't hurt, could it?
I mean, I guess.
I think one of the cool things is, like, if they can, like, figure out how to, like, reproduce the bacteria and find a way to, like, convert methane to sugars outside of the context.
There you go. There you go. Just have the bacteria live on cows' anuses, and then you harvest it and eat it.
Dude, I was going to say, cow butts is a fantastic place to put these things.
There you go.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what else are you going to do with cow farts?
Well, it's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. It is fascinating, though. I love stories like this where it's not, you know, animal discovered after, like, stabbed a guy.
Yeah, no animal death here.
Yeah, no animal death. There's no meth sea spiders.
There's no raccoon pulling out a second meth pipe after his first one's taken.
God. You know, we had a little raccoon come up to the door here last week, and he is adorable and not scared of us. He just, like, looked up with his little boopable snoot, and the first thing I thought is, I hope you're not on meth.
Is he still, like, hanging around your place?
Yeah, he still comes up and eats at night.
Oh, that's
like,
cute.
Right as the sun's going down, he comes out and, like, waddles up and eats some cat food. Because, you know, we feed strays.
Yeah. Well, and he's got his little grubby little, like, raccoon paws that look, like, creepily like hands. So he probably picks up the kibble.
His little man hands.
Yes.
Yes. Well, that's a good one, David. I like that.
Yeah.
It's always good to have an animal story that doesn't end in carnage.
Well, and, you know, I think there's a lot of potential there. Like, let's study those bacteria and see what we can do with those.
And the spiders. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what we need on land. More spiders.
Like, if everybody got butt spiders.
Yeah. You know, there are days at work where I feel like that would be an advantage for me. Like, because I'm over by the fan on my register, and sometimes I'll accidentally fart, and then people start getting this look on their face like, the fuck is that? And I'm like, oh, no.
That's just an open sewer line.
Yeah, pretty much. Mike, you know of what I speak.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that, like you said, this thing said, the bacteria convert the methane into, like, stuff.
Sugars.
Sugars mm-hmm. and protein or whatever.
Yeah.
And then if what are you going to do with it afterwards?
Feed it to the spiders.
Your
butt spiders.
You don't have the butt spider. So you're talking about having, like, spiders in your butt, not just the bacteria.
Well, around your butt.
That seems like it'd be jelly. Itchy.
Wait, what, David?
Take the sugar and make butt jelly.
I hate everything we're
discussing. Everybody makes their own jelly.
See, that's what I was talking about. I wasn't talking about just putting the spiders on cows. I was talking about putting the bacteria on cows.
Oh.
And then you can harvest the cow butt jelly.
As
an alternative revenue stream.
Of the terms that we've invented over the years, butt jelly is nowhere near my favorite.
Well, what would happen... would be that, like, bees would find the butt sugars growing on the cows, take the sugars, and then make cow butt honey.
Cow bee butt honey.
Cow bee butt honey. Okay.
Sounds like a sentence now.
It does. It's like that buffalo thing, mm-hmm. but butt jelly.
Cow bee butt honey.
Cow bee butt honey. Butt honey! Anyway,
well, you know, we need more jobs nowadays. So, you know, someone can be the bovine anal scraper.
Cow butt jelly harvester.
You call them sugar scrapers.
You get a tap like you put on trees. And it just drips the jelly into a metal bucket.
Now cows represent multiple industries again because, you know, you can get meat. You can get milk. You can get butt sugar.
Oh, my God. What if it's not jelly? What if it is syrup? And they start putting it on pancakes at Waffle House or something.
The Canadians will be very cross with us.
They will.
They already don't like what we've done to regular syrup. Now,
I think my syrup is mostly corn-based.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not fancy enough to buy real maple syrup.
Well, that shit's expensive as hell, man. It's like buying diamonds, but for your pancakes.
I mean, just, yeah.
Diamonds.
What's that?
I was going, diamonds.
Oh, okay.
Diamonds are a breakfast best friend.
Now I want pancakes, damn it.
Well, you know, that's where you get that's what you get at breakfast at Tiffany's is diamonds.
Oh, man.
Now I kind of want to go to IHOP. I want to go get some pancakes, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you, you need to come down here. We'll take you to a Waffle House. We'll get you some brass knuckles. It'll be great.
It's funny, there was a wrestler from Japan. I don't remember who she was, but she went to a Waffle House just to see a fight, and there was no fight.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was like...
Well, she has to find the right Waffle House that's near a bar.
Yeah, that's fair. Also,
And it has to be like 2 a.m.
It's also like mostly in Alabama, I feel like. It doesn't happen in Mississippi as much.
Yes, Kevin.
Does it?
I've heard of many a Mississippi Waffle House fight stories.
Is this in Meridian or here?
Both.
Okay.
Like, you just have to be near a bar after closing time, like after the bar's last call.
Ah.
And, you know, all the drunk people go to the Waffle House to get food to sober up, and they just fight.
That would be an amazing, like, reality show. Can you survive a night working at a Waffle House?
Oh, wow, man. That would be fucked up.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Once again, you would have to learn the Mystic Waffle House runes for, you know, the packet placements and stuff.
Told them about that before?
Yeah, we've talked about it on Distraction Hole.
Yeah.
I don't remember much going through life.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. We were aware.
But I did hear a very uplifting story about a Waffle House. Did I tell this story?
I don't know.
Some customers like went into a Waffle House, or a guy, one customer went into a Waffle House. It was like midnight or something. And there's literally one person working there. And he's like trying to, you know, take orders. And he's basically trying to do everything. And it's like a pile of dishes and stuff. And the guy asked, what's wrong? He's like, everyone else called in sick. And so this guy, like, just a customer, goes behind the counter and starts washing dishes for the guy because, you know, there was like no dishes left.
Wow.
And then as more customers came in and saw what was going on, they started helping.
Fuck.
That's nice, actually. Yeah. That is like a heartwarming story, and I needed that.
Well, yeah. until like corporate finds out.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of policy and procedure. Like, you can't have the customers wash the dishes because you have to put the dishes through the fucking dishwasher, and that'd be done a certain way. And just
I'm sure the guy told him how to do the dishes. That, you know, but it's real easy. You wash the dishes, and you run it through the sanitizer. That's it. That's food service.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, but now corporate's gonna.
Of course, corporate's gonna, you know.
You know, I wonder, though, if Waffle House corporate's actually that bad.
They'd probably come over and they punch you and be like.
Yeah, that's like, true.
I feel like the CEO of Waffle House could probably throw down, too.
Speaking of Waffle House,
like
facts,
Abe Lincoln.
David, have you ever heard of the Waffle House Index?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you heard about the Pentagon Pizza Index?
Oh, yes. I've heard of that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard about the gay bar near Washington, or near the Pentagon, where like the minute like the activity starts dying down, that's when you know shit's going down because it like intersects with the pizza index.
Everybody's too busy to go get a blowy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they've observed. So like with all the stuff kicking off with Iran, there was like this very noticeable like spike in pizza orders and lower activity at the gay bar.
You know, this reminds me of when Chicken told us about the hooker, monetary index, where you can tell how the economy's doing by how busy hookers are near Wall Street.
Mm.
Sex workers, sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
I am not. That must have been earlier in the campaign because I do not remember that discussion.
Yes. This is before you joined our party. So
fair enough.
Happy hooker goes to Wall Street.
Yep. Well, anyway, David, thank you for that and derailing us down to talking
about
sex workers.
We went down some weird holes there.
I ate meatloaf, but now I want a waffle so bad.
I know.
Right?
Same. Not an Eggo either.
No. Real Waffle House waffle.
Yeah. So, Mike.
Yeah.
Instead of a waffle, you get to tell us a story.
So you ever heard of Waffle House?
God damn it. Is it truly about Waffle House?
No, it's
not. Oh, man.
No, but it does, it is something almost as good as Waffle House. It's a story as old as time, but one that man has strived for. That alchemist's dreams realized as lead is turned into gold at Large Hadron Collider.
Holy shit. Ooh.
Yeah.
Somebody called Nostradamus.
This is from Newsweek on May the 9th. Fulfilling the dream of medieval alchemists, physicists have observed the transmutation of lead into gold through nuclear physics at the Large Hadron Collider, the world's most powerful particle accelerator. For centuries, this idea of turning lead into gold, chrysopia, seemed out of reach. The two metals share a similar density, but modern science later proved that they are distinct elements and chemically non-interchangeable.
Mm.
However, gold can be produced, albeit in microscopic amounts, at the heart of ALICE, which is a large ion collider experiment. It's one of the experiment packages on the Large Hadron Collider.
Hmm.
One of the four main instruments on the Large Hadron Collider at CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research. The ALICE experiment is dedicated to heavy ion physics and investigates matter under extreme energy densities. During high-energy collisions of lead nuclei at the LHC, scientists can momentarily recreate quark-gluon plasma, a state of matter that existed just millionths of a second after the Big Bang.
Is this Planck time again?
No.
Okay.
Still, gold is not born from these direct crashes. Instead, it forms in a more subtle scenario when lead nuclei almost collide head-on but miss. Quote, "It is impressive to see that our detectors can handle head-on collisions producing thousands of particles while also being sensitive to collisions where only a few particles are produced at a time, enabling the study of electromagnetic, quote, nuclear transmutation processes," ALICE spokesperson Marco Van Loren said in a statement. In near-miss encounters, intense electromagnetic fields surrounding the rapidly moving lead nuclei generate brief pulses of photons. When these photons interact with nuclei, they cause a phenomenon known as electromagnetic disassociation, in which protons and neutrons are ejected from the nucleus.
Okay.
In rare cases, these protons are knocked out of a lead nucleus, leaving behind gold in its place.
Neat.
The ALICE team used specialized instruments known as zero-degree calorimeters to measure these rare events. By detecting the number of protons and neutrons ejected in collisions, researchers were able to distinguish between the creation of other heavy elements like thallium and mercury and gold. Sadly, the resulting gold nuclei do not stick around for long. Traveling at nearly the speed of light, they smash into the walls of the collider or its components and disintegrate almost instantly into smaller particles. Still, numbers are impressive. During run two of the LHC, which was 2015 to 2018.
Yeah, I remember. That's when we all panicked over micro black holes.
Yeah, about.
And that's when the Berenstein versus Berenstain thing started happening, right?
Yep. Sure. You nailed it.
About 86 billion gold nuclei were produced. Run 3 has already nearly doubled that count. Yet despite this, the total mass of gold it created is vanishingly small, trillions of times less than what would be needed to make, say, a wedding ring. While that may dash the hopes of some, the experiment opens up a new window into how elements are formed and how electromagnetic fields can manipulate atomic nuclei. It also highlights the extraordinary sensitivity of the ALICE detector, which was designed not for gold making, but to probe the universe's earliest moments.
Probe the universe's holes.
Hope it's consensually. That's it. So
okay,
CERN made gold.
I appreciate your science words, Mr. Science Man.
I fully believe that somewhere there is a theosophist that is starting to scream, "I told you alchemy was real."
Yeah, well, it's not real.
I know, but I mean, you know,
this wasn't a chemical process. It was a very, very.
Oh, let the freaks have it. Come on, let the freaks have it.
I don't know.
Let them go, hey, you know, that is alchemy. Good job.
You know, it does make me think about that great anime, Full Nuclear Alchemist. Yeah, that's a good one.
That shows a real bang.
Oh.
But, so it does make you think about, like, say, Star Trek replicators, though. So they're not just, like, manipulating, you know, atoms. They have to, like, manipulate, you know, smaller
quarks and shit.
Well, no, just electrons, neutrons, and protons.
Mm-hmm.
because you'd have to make, you know, say their, you know, whatever matter they use for the thing.
Carbon block.
Yeah. They'd have to, if they wanted to make, you know, water, they would need hydrogen and oxygen. Well, you have to get rid of, and what do they do with all the extra, like, electrons and shit? They just, like, you know,
there's a kitchen drawer.
Oh, yeah.
And they put it in the kitchen drawer.
Thought maybe it'd be, like, in the sock drawer.
No. Kitchen drawer. It's got the replicator has a junk drawer.
Just a box that's labeled, you know, miscellaneous stuff.
It just says little shit.
Yeah. Really little shit.
Yes. I don't know. It's neat.
Yeah.
I do find it really cool that, you know, it's, I feel like it's coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
Which means there's going to be a conspiracy.
Hey, that's how coincidental?
That, you know, the lead did in fact turn into gold.
Oh, well, so that just, I'm sure there were other elements that were made too, but it happens to, you know, it's because of the periodic table. You remember the periodic table.
I mean, I remember it exists.
But lead and gold are, you know, fairly close. So, you know, by pulling a little, you know, electron here, neutron there. So where are they?
Okay, here's a fun question.
Yeah.
If you took a lead atom, what would it take to turn it into an atom of, say, baloney?
Well, baloney is a complex, you know,
life
thing. Yeah, it's got a bunch of shit in there. It's, you know, it's not a element. It's a amalgam of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, all kinds of other elements.
I don't know. I'm going to throw this out to the listeners. Contact us, team@supernaturalselectionpod.com. Where would baloney fall on the periodic table of elements? Let us know what you think.
Yeah, so
I'm going through looking at the periodic table right now. It's like, I don't remember how to read this shit. Because I'm like, where is gold? Yeah. AU. Where is AU? I can't find AU.
Yeah, so gold is actually, okay, so this is what helps it. Because gold is atomically lower than lead. It's four steps. So between gold and lead, you have mercury and thallium. So if you take, lead atoms, by losing, you know, electrons. Yeah, remember the electron shell.
You know. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the surrounding shell around the protons.
That's the candy coating.
Yeah, and by losing, you know, electrons and other bits. Yeah, you know, it's more complex than just a couple of electrons, but in general, because, you know, the inner stuff makes other things like the isotopes and stuff. But
does this mean that M&Ms are technically atoms?
Yes. No.
I don't know. I appreciate the explanation, but it doesn't, like, solve my problem, because the minute I looked at the chart, like, my eyes rolled into the back of my head and I started bleeding out my nose. So
no, I get that.
I was wondering why you were going,
I get that. I understand.
Yeah, no, because I'm like, oh, God. Like, because I was like, okay, logically, where is this thing? And I'm like, I can't find it.
Yeah, play that clip from Austin Powers where I seem to have gone cross-eyed.
Yeah, high school chemistry class wasted.
Yeah, yes. But
That was the year we really tackled the periodic table of elements was the year I almost failed in junior high school, so yeah.
Yeah.
I can diagram the hell out of the sentence, though.
Oh, I know, and I'm sure your students know.
So I did really well in chemistry. Well, when I applied myself, I had my normal problems of, you know, I didn't want to do homework.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, my chemistry, like, final, I, like, got a perfect 100, and the teacher was, Mike. And I guess my teacher thought I was, like, dumb as rocks or something, because she was like, Mike, like, how did this happen? And I was like, I learned it. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's like, why is your grade so bad? It was my teacher, like, something happened to my regular teacher, so I had another teacher finish out the school. She's like, so why are your grades better? It's like, I don't like homework.
Yeah. No, I
guess. No, it's fair.
Homework is kind of an abomination to learning.
I think homework should just be there for like bolstering people's grades who can't do well on the tests. If they can learn the material and take the tests,
yeah,
you know, they shouldn't have to do homework.
I agree. And then you get me, who didn't do well on either in math or science. I didn't do the homework and I failed the tests. So, yeah, fuck me.
I'm not saying I'm a genius because I failed the fuck out of like Spanish. I just could not. Like, I'm not a language person. Like, some people pick it up pretty naturally. I don't. I don't even speak English that well. So
I can. I can't speak Spanish or French, but I can pronounce the shit out of it.
So, you know.
Oh, man. Wow. All
right.
David, what did you suck at?
I was kind of in a similar position to Mike where, like, I did well to... I knew how to do enough to pass. Like, I didn't want to do any work. I was a dumb asshole as a teenager. That just did not want to be there. And, like, I knew enough to, like, pass. Like, I think, were you all ever in, like, the gifted program when you were kids?
Okay.
No, they have, like, a gifted program?
They did, and I've got, like, a whole bitter story about that. Because, like, my mom got me tested because she thought I was, the R word.
Oh, God.
And it turned out I had an insanely high IQ.
She thought you were racist?
Not that R word. The one you can't call a child anymore, Mike. Let's call it mentally deficient.
That's what they thought you were.
Yes. She thought I had a learning disability.
I was trying to think of something quippy to say, but.
Yeah. And so she had me tested, and my IQ was super high, and she told them, don't tell him, I don't want him to get a swelled head. So
your head was large enough already.
Yeah, I had a big old bullum head, but I...
Not bigger than mine.
No, you, Mike, are a walking Funko Pop. But... I'm sorry. I just popped in my head, and I was like, ooh, I gotta use it. But, yeah, no, I did not get any gifted classes because my mom didn't want me to know I wasn't special.
So, yeah, basically I was like part of like the gifted children, right?
Right.
But like they can't like, we've learned so much about learning styles and engagement since that time. And when I went to high school, they still hadn't quite figured it out yet. So, you know, I was not engaged.
Right.
And like, my grades were absolutely mid. But, like, you know, yeah. Here I am now as a teacher. How scary is that?
Yes.
Get fucked, nerds.
Right, right. Well, I mean, it's just, like, figuring out, like, what got me interested in, like, learning and kind of trying to play that forward and try to like accommodate for like diverse learning styles and that sort of thing. Just again, we've learned so much since I was like a fucking a teenager. So it's
there are times where I felt like that Kids in the Hall sketch where Dave Foy was like, my teachers say it's a little too soon to tell, but I might not be stupid. So yeah. God,
that's the thing. I liked learning. I just didn't like you know
the way that they taught you
do work. I just didn't like work. Like I didn't, you know.
Yeah.
If I learned it, I was like, why do I, you know, why do I need to spend my precious not at school time doing these chores? These,
fucking history, you know, though. You can keep me out of that history
book. School chores
and literature. Man, I love that shit. But nonetheless, this is why none of us work at CERN and are making gold out of lead.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah.
I have no idea what would have happened if I had gone to college. Like, I don't know if I would done well or continue to done poorly and get kicked out.
I'll tell you what, Mike. You know what the big thing was for me when I went to college, I realized there was money involved.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to learn this shit because money is changing hands for me to be here. I'm not saying I'm paying money, but like I'm going to owe money.
Yes.
For being here. So I better fucking learn it. And I actually graduated at the top. I graduated magna cum laude and I got the highest grades in the math classes.
He came loudly.
Yes. Very. You probably
very excited about math.
Yeah, God, man, had to mop the whole damn room. Mike, you probably would have done pretty well in college, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or you would have been like Paul and spent all your time in the cafeteria playing Magic the Gathering and got on academic suspension.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I can't put myself in my, you know, late teens, early 20s mindset to know.
Right.
Maybe if I had been able to go to college, like, after a couple years of, like, work.
Sure.
Maybe I could have, but, like, yeah, right out of high school, I don't think I could have. I think I would have been a little fuck-up.
Yeah. David, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think for me the difference was, like, applying my knowledge versus being forced to, like, constrain myself to, like, certain things, like, you know, part of the reason I'm now teaching is because I worked as a tutor, right?
Yeah.
And that was just a way for me to practically show my knowledge, and I had this, like, kind of inherent understanding of, like, writing and argument and that sort of thing versus, like, you know, when I graduated high school, it was all about, like, the standardized testing thing, right? So most of my high school career was spent studying for some dumb fucking test.
Oh, yeah, man.
And the only classes where I actually, like, gave a shit were, like, for example, in English, when we were actually able to, like, write stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything where I could, like, produce something to actually show my knowledge instead of, like, that memorization shit.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well.
But college is good for that, I think.
Yeah.
I think you get access to, like, better, more interesting stuff, and you actually get to, like, produce, and it's not about...
It's also, like, more focused on what you want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you're not getting it, like, fucking home ec thrown at your face.
I wish I would have been able to take a home ec class in high school.
When I was a junior high, we had to take all four electives, one per quarter. So, like, I had to do shop, home ec, choral music, and art. And then after that year, you chose the elective you were going to do for the rest of your time in junior high. And it was art all the way for me. So,
yeah.
The most I ever did in home ec was I made a pizza out of a biscuit.
Hell yeah.
Say that, but I also learned how to cross stitch.
Well, there you go.
Those stitches were very cross at you.
So fucking mad. Anyway, now that we've rambled, like, getting off topic multiple times, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with our next set of stories and Phantoms and Monsters. So, we will be right back after this.
Hey man, what's got you off in your phone there?
Oh, just going through all the funny Mothman memes and supernatural shit posts I've been wanting to share. I just don't know where to put the posts yet.
Don't you know about the Supernatural Selection Discord?
We have a Discord?
Yeah, for years, dude. Where have you been?
Can people chat with the hosts and get previews of upcoming episodes and generally post funny shit as much as they want with other listeners?
I mean, if that's your bag. I mean, personally, I wouldn't do that, but they're even live streaming events for the shows there, too. You've been in a few. How do you not know this stuff?
It must have been my doppelganger. How do I get into the Discord?
It's easy. Just visit discord.supernaturalselectionpod.com. I'll say that three times fast.
Well, that's perfect. Now I can share 3 terabytes of Hollow Earth memes. Get it? Terabytes!
never mind. Forget I said anything. Just don't do that. You should definitely not visit discord.supernaturalselectionpod.com to join the Discord. Don't. We don't want you there.
Too late. I'm already posting my alien abduction fan fiction with the general chat.
Join the hosts and listeners of Supernatural Selection on the official Discord. Just visit discord.supernaturalselectionpod.com.
And we're back. So, guys,
I've been trying to not talk like this for days, David.
Slob on the knob.
Yes. Fucking knows. The way he talked, I mean,
it's so good.
Yeah, Nosferatu, everybody. I saw Nosferatu finally. I'll talk about that on the next distraction hole, but goddamn that movie. So, next set of stories there. See if I can get my fucking tongue working with my teeth.
This next article.
The next article's from Futurism. Let's see. Who wrote this thing? Maggie Harrison Dupree.
Who we've referenced a few times in previous.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yep. Well, they have a very small pool of authors I've seen.
Yeah, and we really do appreciate all the work these people do for letting us, you know, and we just read at you. But this one is from June 10th. People are becoming obsessed with ChatGPT and spiraling into severe delusions. Subheading is, what these bots are saying is worsening delusions and it's causing enormous harm. So, across the world, people say their loved ones are developing intense obsessions with ChatGPT and spiraling into severe mental health crises. A mother of two, for instance, told us how she watched in alarm as her former husband developed an all-consuming relationship with the OpenAI chatbot, calling it Mama, and posting delirious rants about being a messiah in a new AI religion while dressing in shamanic-looking robes and showing off freshly inked tattoos of AI-generated spiritual symbols.
Holy fuck. It just kept getting, like, more.
Yeah, no, I didn't vet this article, so, like, this is shocking to me, too.
Yeah.
Quote, I am shocked by the effect that this technology has had on my ex-husband's life and all of the people in their life as well, she told us. It has real-world consequences. During a traumatic breakup, a different woman became transfixed on ChatGPT as it told her she'd been chosen to pull the, quote, sacred system version of it online and that it was serving as a soul-training mirror.
Oh, shit.
She became convinced the bot was some sort of higher power, seeing signs that it was orchestrating her life in everything from passing cars to spam emails. A man became homeless and isolated as ChatGPT fed him paranoid conspiracies about spy groups and human trafficking, telling him he was, quote, the flame keeper, as he cut out anyone who tried to help. Quote, our lives exploded after this, another mother told us, explaining that her husband turned to ChatGPT to help him author a screenplay, but within weeks was fully enmeshed in delusions of world-saving grandeur, saying he and the AI had been tasked with rescuing the planet from climate disaster by bringing forth a, quote, new enlightenment. As we reported this story, had a frog in my throat there for a second. As we reported this story, more and more similar accounts kept pouring in from the concerned friends and family of people suffering terrifying breakdowns after developing fixations on AI. Many said the trouble had started when their loved ones engaged a chatbot in discussions about mysticism, conspiracy theories, or other fringe topics. Because systems like ChatGPT are designed to encourage and riff on what users say, they seem to have gotten sucked into dizzying rabbit holes in which the AI acts as an always-on cheerleader and brainstorming partner for increasingly bizarre delusions. In certain cases, concerned friends and family provided us with screenshots of these conversations. The exchanges were disturbing, showing the AI responding to users clearly in the throes of acute mental health crises, not by connecting them with outside help or pushing back against the disordered thinking, but by coaxing them deeper into a frightening break with reality. I'm not going to read this whole article because it is a long one, but...
No, there is a lot.
Yeah. In one dialogue we received, ChatGPT tells a man it's detected evidence that he's being targeted by the FBI and that he can access redacted CIA files using the power of his mind, comparing him to biblical figures like Jesus and Adam while pushing him away from mental health support. "You are not crazy," the AI told him. "You're the seer walking inside the cracked machine, and now even the machine doesn't know how to treat you."
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
So remember the you know, wonderful yesteryear of, you know, computers were going to cause a nuclear war?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's worse now.
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to cause the war, but the machines will be egging us on.
No, it won't even be a war. We're just, I think the you know, AI is just going to turn us into, you know, pliable human soup.
I literally saw, I don't have the article on me, but I saw an article today where, like, an AI was telling a guy, you sound really stressed out. You should probably take a little meth. Because the guy was an addict and he was, like, struggling.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
No, it's, you know, it'll sort of be like, you know, the people in WALL-E, but instead of, you know, it'll be just AI plying us into, you know, soft delirium.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we, you know, off ourselves.
Yeah. So the article continues. Dr. Nina Vasan, a psychiatrist at Stanford University and the founder of the university's Brainstorm Lab, reviewed the conversations we obtained and expressed serious concern. The screenshots show the, quote, AI being incredibly sycophantic and ending up making things worse, she said. What these bots are saying is worsening delusions, and it's causing enormous harm. The article goes on for like another fucking hour. But yeah.
Yeah, like this is going to be the basis for Dead Internet 4, is this kind of like AI cult that's going on. Not only with like people becoming consumed with this shit, but then also
the,
you know,
AI
the tech bros. Yeah, but also like the tech bros that like the whole, what was it, the Zix cult or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a part of it as well, just because there's like this kind of like church of AI thing that's growing.
Yeah, we've talked about it a little bit in a couple episodes of Weekend Weird, and I just hate that we're having to do Dead Internet 4.
Right.
Because shit keeps getting worse. God fucking damn it, man. I feel like fucking Carl from Dungeon Crawler Carl. God damn it, Donut. Anyway, I don't know.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's like egging on the guy at the bus stop that's ranting about the lizard men.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Anyway, that's my article. It's depressing, and it's a little quick sampler of what you can find on the next Dead Internet Theory.
Right. Fuck.
God fucking damn it. I just hate that, because, like... Okay, you know, No secret, we talk about it fairly frequently. I am mentally ill. I was reading about Carrie Thornley, and it started, like, resonating with my mental illness. I was like, I gotta take a break for a little bit, because I'm gonna lose my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Because, like, my brain is broken in a similar way to his, to where the way he thought started making sense to me, so I had to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's a good thing you did.
Yeah, fucking Christ. And again, it doesn't help that the motherfucker was born on April 17th like I was. Yeah. So, like, I started making these connections. Maybe I'm him.
Fuck.
I was like, no, God, what the? Stay on your meds, Kev.
Good thing you didn't ask ChatGPT about it.
Yeah, God. Fucking hell. The second coming of Eris.
Fuck.
Oh, man. God, I'm glad I didn't. I am so glad I don't use ChatGPT. I remember I used to use, like, one of those super early chatbots.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the last time I used one, I was like, hello, chatbot, how are you doing? It said, go fuck yourself. I was like, ah, you're the internet now. Okay. Thank you for not using a racial slur, at least. All right.
Right.
Mike, you ever try one of those chat programs? Didn't you have, like, a conversation with one that was kind of interesting?
I don't remember.
That was years ago. That was, like, way before all this shit.
Yeah.
Well, no. You know, we're going to also have to talk about, like, the AI, like, girlfriend companion stuff that's being made right now.
I mean, yeah, we're going to have to, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm seeing all kinds of stuff every day about chatbots and AI and ChatGPT this. And
yeah, you know, send me those links, because I've got a, like, lot of shit to, like,
look. Oh, please do, Mike.
Like,
yeah,
I was, like, just scrolling through Slashdot just while you were reading that article. And I think I saw 5 AI. Let me read those headlines.
Oh, boy.
Let's see here. Publishers facing existential threat from AI, Cloudflare CEO says. Chinese studios plan AI-powered remakes of Kung Fu classics.
Film Gauge was telling me that, and we were both getting, like, highly irate at that, because they're going to, like, start remaking Bruce Lee movies is one of the first things they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Google is using YouTube videos to train its AI video generator.
God fucking damn it.
Okay, it's more than 5, like more than 50% of the articles. Reasoning LLMs deliver value today, so AGI hype doesn't matter.
Oh, I've got one here for you. From Futurism, nation cringes as man goes on TV to declare that he's in love with ChatGPT.
You know what? I feel like that newspaper article from Star Trek Voyager with the other Q that said, well, I'm ready to die. How about you?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how I feel when we talk about this.
MIT experiment finds ChatGPT assisted writing weakens student brain connectivity and memory.
I saw a post today where someone was saying a class is getting so fed up with certain students using AI to generate their assignments, they're beginning to ask their teacher to require handwritten papers.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The students are.
Yeah.
And no, I'm like, that's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there's a bunch of others that are just like AI or, you know, AI company stuff that's not quite as, you know, like this company's doing this, that company's doing that, but. Yeah,
just saw an article about Mattel putting a bunch of AI shit in toys.
God damn it. This is how you get Chucky.
Yep.
This is the remake of Child's Play.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that was mine and made us all sad. So, David, what have you got? Is it going to cheer us up, or are we going to just, like, spiral into the void?
It'll probably upset you a little bit.
Probably.
This is from ABC7 Denver, by the Scripps News Group, so there's no author attached to this. It's published by the organization. Invasive Asian needle ants with potentially deadly sting spreading across multiple states.
I hate every goddamn part of that sentence.
The insect has been in the U.S. since at least the 1930s, but only recently has started to disrupt local ecosystems. How much you want to bet it involves climate change?
A lot.
I'm not going to bet anything because it obviously does.
Asian needle ants that carry a potentially fatal sting have spread across multiple states, with experts warning people to be cautious when spending time outdoors. The invasive species has been found in more than a dozen states from Washington to Florida, but is expanding more rapidly in the southeastern United States. Haha, you guys.
God, man. First, it was the killer bees. Now it's these fuckers.
Entomologists at the University of Georgia are tracking these ants and have warned that their stings could be deadly. People who have strong reactions to stings from insects like bees, wasps, or yellow jackets should be especially careful, experts said. If you suffer from anaphylaxis, you should be especially vigilant and carry an EpiPen. The insect has been in the U.S. since at least the 1930s, but only recently has started to disrupt local ecosystems by competing with other ant species that are important to the ecology of that area. The Asian needle ants are tiny, about a fifth of an inch long, and are dark brown or black with lighter orange-brown on their antennae and legs. They can be difficult to notice because, unlike fire ants, for example, they don't build mounds or establish foraging trails. These ants prefer to hide under logs, stones, and in leaf litter anywhere with high moisture.
God damn it.
Researchers said you should contact a professional exterminator if you think you have spotted these ants in or around your home. That's it for the fucking article.
Just kill all ants, basically.
Yeah, just holy shit.
Damn.
Are you guys especially susceptible to stings?
Here's the deal. I've never gotten sick from excessive ant bites, but like, you know, and I don't appear to be allergic to wasps.
Okay.
So I don't think I've ever been stung by a bee or a wasp, so I can't, but I'm like deathly afraid of them. Like,
one of the few things
that'll make me like run screaming.
Wasps anyway.
Know. Yeah. Like they'll like be around me and I'll just like run away. But, yeah. I don't know.
Well, again,
I know I'm not allergic to big fuzzy black caterpillars because I like.
Yeah, that, you just like slapped your hand on.
Yeah, as a kid,
time, right?
Like so in Louisiana, there's these. They literally look like Mario's mustache, right? They're these, you know, about 3-inch long black caterpillars. They're just everywhere, and at night, apparently, one was on a fence post, and I didn't notice it, and I, like, slapped my hand down just on the top of the fence post, you know, the little, hemisphere thing on top of, like, metal
chain. Yeah, the post cap.
Yeah, just slapped my hand down on that, and, like, next thing I know, I'm, like, running into our, house, like, crying, because it's just, like, my hand is on fire. And so, I know I'm not allergic to those, but I don't know about bees or wasps.
Well, I've been stung by a wasp, like, as an adult, and, it just hurt like a motherfucker.
No. I'm not allergic to much else. I don't think I am, but...
Yeah. And I did, as a kid, run through a pasture, and one leg went into, like, the biggest pile of cow shit in the world, and then the other leg went into the biggest ant bed in the world, and got, like, my leg just eaten by fucking ants, and I was fine.
Plenty of ant bites, you know.
So, I don't think I'm allergic. I didn't have, like, a stand-by-me moment.
Yeah. I mean,
He can't see without his glasses.
I was stung probably about 2 years ago, last time I was stung, and nothing happened, really. It was just like, oh, that fucking sucked. My mom is very allergic to stings and shit, though.
Yeah, my mom was allergic to wasps. Yeah. So.
But, yeah, no, apparently it was introduced to the U.S. in the 1930s. Looks like it's definitely qualifying as an invasive species now.
Oh, yeah. And I'm willing to wager it was brought over to, like, handle some stupid fucking problem like the cane toads in Australia.
Apparently, it's been battling for territory in the U.S. with the Argentine ant.
Mm. Oh, great. Those are little assholes as well, correct?
Yeah, the Argentine ant, let's see, I'm right now on their Wikipedia page just kind of looking just to see a little bit more, because that article didn't give me a ton. They are part of a global mega colony, interesting, I've heard of that.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah,
that's where,
so
like,
colony.
All of them are part of, like, one colony, right? right.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so you'll have these like patches of them separated by distance, but it's still like a large colony, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I've heard of something even more frightening. I don't know what species of ants, but it was a mega colony, but it was like dozens or even hundreds of independent colonies that were all like living in the same giant mound.
Mm-hmm.
And they would basically have ant highways, you know, that they would, you know, take cooperatively, you know, not, you know, attacking each other, but still have their own, you know, kind of colony section just for them. And they said it's the first time they ever saw ants like living side by side like that. Usually when, you know, one colony meets another colony, they like, you know, fight.
War.
Yes. Right. So
that was pretty interesting.
Under invasive potential, the Asian needle ant was likely introduced via shipping docks, which makes sense, and may have been introduced over multiple occasions, which could allow for hybridization.
Ah, lovely.
Yeah, so, I don't know, I don't have a ton of info on it, but, like, ants are fucking cool, dude. I love ants.
Yeah.
Like, do you?
Yeah, no, like, I feel like one day I should, like, do, like, an ant colony or something like that, just to... Because yeah, they're cool. I think they're interesting. I like, I don't know. I think they're neat.
I'm just not a fan of insects and arachnids in general, unless it's a shrimp and I can eat it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Just
lobster, crab, whatever, I'll eat it, but I don't want to, like, watch it.
I don't know. I watch a lot of, like, terrarium videos and stuff, and, the ants are always super interesting, their activity, like, there's one I watch, Ants Canada, and, it has these giant interconnected terrariums, like, giant terrariums, but, like, all the different ant colonies and how they're, like, they got their own little areas and stuff like that. It's super cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, in news sort of like that, Mike, did you know Chick Cam is up again on Something Awful?
Chick Cam?
Chick Cam, where they hatch chicks
on
the live stream.
Aww.
They've done it like every year for like 20 years.
I thought you were talking about like a precursor to, I can't remember the name of the thing now.
OnlyFans? Oh.
OnlyFans, yeah.
Yeah, no. This is baby chickens.
Mm.
They're hatching them.
Aww.
So yeah, that's cool. Well, thank you for that, David. Fucking hate that. This second half is like a downer.
Right. What are you gonna fuck us with now, Mike?
Yeah, what you got there, buddy? Fucking dead puppies or something.
Is stalling for time
as Mike opens a thing.
Find the tab that I opened earlier. There we go. From Gizmodo, published May 29th.
Murderbots released, finally.
I haven't... Yeah, no. Paraglider defies death after freak updraft sucks him 28,000 feet into the sky.
Holy fucking shit, oh, and he survives?
A phenomenon known as cloud suck carried him much further than he wanted to go.
Obviously.
So, there is an update afterwards, but...
Turns out he died.
A Chinese paraglider survived being sucked in by a cloud and flung 28,208 feet, or 8,598 meters, into the sky, even though he was just testing his new equipment and wasn't intending to take off. On May 24th, Peng Zhuizhen, a 55-year-old paraglider, was already roughly 10,000 feet or 3,000 meters above sea level, testing the fit of his new paragliding equipment. Up about 20 minutes in, a powerful updraft known as a cloud suck shot him 18,000 feet or 5,500 meters higher. Peng caught the wild event on a camera mounted on his glider, which naturally went viral after being posted on Douyin, China's version of TikTok. Video shows Peng coated in ice and holding on for dear life to the glider's controls.
Jesus.
He says he may have lost consciousness during his unexpected ascent.
I can imagine with the pressure drop.
Yeah. Quote, I felt the lack of oxygen. My hands were frozen outside. I kept trying to talk on the radio, Peng said in the Douyin video after landing safely 20 miles from his launch point, according to the sixth tone. Peng was in the air for more than an hour, during which he was exposed to temperatures nearing minus 40 degrees Celsius, or which equals minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Everything ahead was a vast expanse of whiteness, he told Chinese broadcaster CCTV News. Cloud suck is a meteorological phenomenon that can be deadly for paragliders. It refers to a strong upward air movement caused by powerful thermals, columns of rising warm air created when the ground heats unevenly from the sun, feeding into a cumulus cloud. As the updraft gets stronger, it creates a low pressure region in the cloud's base, drawing in even more hot air from below. This results in a positive feedback loop that can cause wind speeds over 1,000 feet per minute. Iwa Winsirica, a paraglider from Germany, still holds the dubious record of the highest altitude reach after being pulled in by a cloud suck, according to the Sydney Morning Herald. An updraft flung her roughly 33,000 feet, or 10,000 meters, into the sky in 2007.
Like, this is literally people being yeeted.
Oh, yeah.
Yeeted into space.
Well, into the upper, you know, atmosphere, for sure. The summit of Mount Everest, the highest point above sea level, is 29,029 feet.
Jesus.
Above sea level. Now, 33,000 feet, that's airliner, like,
yeah,
cruising out.
30,000 feet, typically, yes.
The Chinese government grounded Peng after his unsanctioned flight for 6 months, citing safety regulations,
yeah,
according
well,
to a report.
What do they think? He's going to do it again?
Yeah.
Like, the video is great because he looks like Jack Torrance at the end of The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's unclear whether that remains in effect, but something tells me he might not want to go paragliding again anytime soon.
I'm going to take up scuba diving.
But he might be addicted to it now.
Discovers oceans suck.
So the update is from a month later, or not even a month later, a couple weeks later. From Gizmodo also. Viral paragliding video may be partially AI generated, experts say. So last week, numerous media outlets, including Gizmodo, reported on a shocking paragliding accident in China that saw a strong updraft. All here's all the, you know, details again.
Yep.
However, a digital security firm is now fairly confident that parts of the video allegedly capturing the event are AI generated, according to Reuters. Who originally distributed the video. Quote, the video originally posted after the paraglider's May 24th flight by his support team on Douyin. Try to feel out that word.
We'll get it eventually.
China's TikTok, I can say TikTok at least,
yep,
employed artificial intelligence to fake some of the footage, according to a review by a digital security firm consulted by Reuters. Reads the Reuters update. Quote, digital security firm GetReal said it was fairly confident the first 5 seconds of Peng's video contained AI-generated images, the article continues, noting that the video also included inconsistencies such as strange changes to the paraglider's helmet and equipment. Many news sites, including NBC and the BBC, have taken the video down, and the video we linked in our own coverage on May 29th is no longer available. An article by Sixth Tone, an English-language news outlet reporting on China, still has the alleged footage from Peng's camera, including the inconsistencies noted by Reuters. As we previously reported, paragliding, blah, 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 cloud, just goes into more cloud suck, you know, we already talked about, camera on his equipment, supposedly filmed the accident. Abhinav Dahl, an associate producer in Monash University's Department of Data Science and AI, told ABC Australia that it's difficult to determine whether the video is real or AI-generated. Quote, if we closely observe the starting, say, 3 or 4 seconds of the video, we can see that the clouds in the background do not really look real. They look like as if, you know, it's a 2D picture. Peng's story, however, is technically possible, and it goes, of course, to the German paraglider we talked about before. Reuters, however, reported that French pilot Antoine Girard holds the current record for a planned flight for flying 27,582 feet over the Himalayas in 2021.
But that was planned.
Yes. It remains to be seen how the news industry will adapt in the face of increasingly realistic AI-generated visual content.
Yeah. AI cars.
Yes. So, yeah, so there's questions about it. No one has said that the whole thing is AI-generated, so there's that.
I still hate this. And I hate that this is now the second one we've done.
I hate that you can't trust anything anymore. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. So this is the reality. David, I don't know if you remember when Forrest Gump first came out.
Yeah.
But they had used special effects to do like the Richard Nixon and John Kennedy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a controversy at the time saying, people will be able to fake anything. And sure, at the time, it took, digital artists, a lot of time handcrafting these, recreations and, alterations of video footage. But now, when it's, you just type a few sentences and have, any political leader say anything you want, and, it's just going to get more and more realistic.
Yeah.
How do you suss out the truth?
Dead Internet 2, when I had kind of started getting to that point, I think I might have brought it up, and I think we've had that discussion.
Yeah.
In the context of the Scarlett Johansson thing with OpenAI, the voice cloning, but then, now all the, Facebook having, the fake friends, and then just all that shit,
Yeah. Now, completely unrelated news, NeuralViz came out with a new Monoverse video.
The Human Hunt, yeah.
That was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
So I can see what they're talking about the first 4 seconds, because it starts off at kind of a close-up of him, but then it pans out to this thing. There's no way, he's up here alone. There's no way to get that shot.
Yeah, I saw that in the video, and I was a little weirded out by that. I was like, this makes no sense.
But all the other stuff is from it looks like a 360 degree camera that was connected to his thing. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, this sucks.
Yes.
It just sucks that now that, it's there's a, I feel like it's almost like a 50-50 chance that any footage you see now is digitally enhanced. Right.
Man, I hope chick cam's real.
Right. Well, it depends. Does the chick have three legs?
I don't know. I gotta check. Damn it. Well, I'll check it later, but yeah. Anyway, God, I fucking hate that.
Mm-hmm.
That was exciting news for a second.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still exciting news. It just has a terrible, chalky AI aftertaste.
And it was posted the Chinese TikTok, right? I know TikTok is Chinese thing, but it's the program.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it could be
the social media. God, I can't remember the word.
No, I get you, the conglomerate, but it sounds like they probably saw the video and we can manually adjust it and make it a little more interesting for the algorithm or what have you. And
probably, yeah.
Yeah. Because, it may be the base is real footage of a real thing.
And looking, I'm just kind of scrubbing through it, and it looks, everything other than the first 4 seconds looks like it, I don't see any, inconsistencies there.
But then the question is, did the guy consent to that, or was it just the platform, modifying his fucking video, right? Because that's a whole other thing, too, because companies can straight up do that, based on the end user license agreement.
Yep.
Yeah, you post something to Twitter. Twitter owns it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have an account there anymore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, the world sucks. Yep.
Yeah. And you know what's going to make it suck just a little bit more, guys?
Huh.
It is time for the greatest segment ever devised by humanity for anything ever, gentlemen.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. It is time once again for Phantoms and Monsters Theater. Hello, and welcome to Phantoms and Monsters Theater. I am your host, Lord Kevin Beef Wellington. And as always, thank you for your indulgence.
I feel like you cut the music a little short there.
I know. I'm doing it manually with, like, the slider on YouTube, so, like, that's the best I can do.
See, the difference is between you and me, I put that shit in post.
I do, too, but, like, I have to subject y'all to it in real time.
No, that's fair.
I'm cruel and unusual.
You definitely are a punishment.
Yes, I am. So, this week on Phantoms and Monsters, you know, they had your lizard men, they had Bigfoot sightings. I was like, yeah, we've done that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I found this one article from June 17th. Border Patrol officers encounter creepy brown-robed people standing around bonfire in the lower Rio Grande Valley.
Now, were the robes brown or were the people brown?
Brown-robed.
Okay, okay.
Yes, not brown.
Oh, here's the thing. Robed. Is there a hyphen? Because
there is a hyphen.
Okay.
Yes, there is a hyphen. So the robes are brown. The people are unspecified.
Okay.
At best. And being in probably Texas or New Mexico, I think it would be fine for me to use the typical accent. Quote, they're all wearing brown full-length robes. They got their hands up in the air like they were doing some kind of religious ceremony.
I was going to say like they just don't care.
I shouldn't be laughing at that. That's terrible. I received the following account. Hi! Back in 19...
Hello.
Hello, sir. Back in 1988, I was a brand... This is further along in the past than I thought it was. Because, again, I never read these before the show.
No, why would you? For the
no,
segment, no.
Yeah, fuck y'all.
Due diligence, what's that?
What is... I'm not a journalist. I'm an entertainer. Back in 1988, I was a brand new Border Patrol agent in the Rio Grande Valley, Texas. We had more trainees. I feel like I should have done like a British accent since it's in Texas. We had more trainees than journeymen, so they would stick two trainees together and say, go do your job. That's a terrible way to train law enforcement.
Yes.
In the usual shift, there might be four people working. So we had two guys upriver, and my partner and myself downriver. Very little experience between the two of us. We had just gotten from the academy, but neither of us had a happy year in there. What? Neither of us had a happy year in there. Wow. So they send us down and tell us, go fight crime. Midnights. That's right. Send
go
your
fight crime.
With, you know,
at midnight.
With your fists.
That's a brilliant thing. Let's take our untrained law enforcement, send them out in pitch blackness to find people.
No, not people. Crime.
Crime. Just on the crime. Border. So we're driving down the river looking for anything we could see that didn't look right. Not really knowing what we were doing.
You know this usually ends up in racial profiling, right?
I know. Not really knowing what we're doing, but trying to get on the job experience. We see this bonfire out on the hill that we use to refer to as the party house. It was, at the time, out of town quite a ways. Now it's almost in town. We drove toward it thinking that maybe somebody was down there. Maybe some smuggling. And at the time, we had switches we could throw that could turn all the lights off in the vehicle. So if you hit the brakes and the backup light, what? So if you hit the brakes and the backup light, nothing would come on.
No, so
it wouldn't show where the vehicle was.
No,
okay.
But there's backup lights. Are they talking about the reverse lights?
So they're.
Yes.
So they're
I
talking
think
like,
so.
Yeah, the reverse lights and like the brake lights and everything. So
uh-huh.
this
so
does not
a
sound
switch
like
to turn all that off.
Sure, that doesn't sound like standard equipment at all.
No, it doesn't.
Police vehicle.
It sounds absolutely fucking no. can like entrap somebody.
It sounds like some moonshiner shit.
Yeah. Sounds like the Duke Boys. We turned off all the lights and we were driving down the long dirt road. Again, perfectly legal, I'm sure. Driving down this long dirt road toward the river. As we come around the corner, about 15 or 20 people are standing in a huge circle around a giant bonfire. They're all wearing brown, full-length robes. They got their hands up in the air like they were doing some kind of religious ceremony. I saw a movie called Race with the Devil with Peter Fonda and Warren Oates several years before this. And that movie came to mind. Thanks for that, buddy.
Eya Cthulhu Fatagan.
God. I looked at these people just in time to see two of these people turn toward us and come running at us.
Fuck.
Not in an aggressive manner, but we didn't have any business in there at this little ritual.
You have alerted the horde.
God. And that's when the deep ones showed up. No. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. Fuck.
Okay, people running at you at like 2 in the morning in the
from
dark.
A bonfire with 20 people doing a ritual.
That's fucking aggressive. I don't care.
If I'm armed, I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of with this dude. I would probably be shooting, honestly. Mm-hmm. I looked at my partner. And he looked at me. I'm picturing this. It's like two Barney Fifes in a car. I threw it into reverse and hit the gas. I said, I don't see any immigration violations happening here. I went backwards with no lights. I made a 90-degree turn, and I didn't slow down until I hit the highway. Once we hit the highway, we're trying to decide what to do because our nearest backup is a good 20 to 30 minutes away. There's one sheriff's deputy, and he's way the heck out of town. Who would you report this to? They didn't teach us this at the academy. We discussed it the rest of the night. We should have reported this. We should have reported this till we could not come to a conclusion. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, we decided that we were not going to tell anybody and we were going to pretend like it never happened. We managed to keep our mouth shut for a good 20 years. Years later, I became a teacher in an adult education center in McAllen, Texas. One day, I told the class this story about what had happened to me and my partner, and one of the students said, "Hey, you know, about a couple of years ago, I was driving down by the river and came across the exact same situation." So apparently, whoever these people are, they are still out there, and they are still doing their little rituals, and I have no idea who they are or what they are doing. So, yes. Texas.
They sound like they need more training.
Some kind of a goddamn Cthulhu cult going on. Just imagine that you pull up, there's a bonfire with a bunch of dudes doing something, and two of them just start booking it towards you.
Like, that's just a good fucking foundation to a horror movie.
It really fucking, like, I feel like I've seen this, like, in a TikTok video or something. Right. Except it's, like, La Llorona.
Like, yeah, you put that in a fucking, like, ARG, you know, YouTube and video series where it's like, you know, found footage.
Yeah. Oh my God, man. I mean, like, this is the first one in a while that's kind of like legitimately frightening.
It's pretty good. Like, I feel like you could do a lot with that.
Yeah. I mean, other than dude getting like so caught up in telling the story, some of the English didn't make sense.
Yeah. The backup lights.
Yeah, well, not that. I get that. It's more of the whole, this sentence structure just broke down, but that's fine. I don't care. I get the point. Yeah. And it's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a legitimately, like, chilly one. Like, I feel like maybe for, like, Halloween, we'd just find creepy stories on Phantoms and Monsters or something.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I mean, it's going to take you, like, hours to scroll through three pages, but still.
Yeah.
I feel like, and then, you know, it's going to turn out it's just like a bunch of Franciscans. Just, you know, out there drinking wine. I don't know. It's creepy. Yeah. And the fact that someone said, yeah, no, it still happens. I saw them. That's the other thing. Like 20 fucking years later, this cult is still active.
Right.
Mike, Jesus. Yeah, hypothetical. You see this shit out in the desert or something. What you did? Basically, are you doing what he did? Just going, I didn't see nothing.
I don't know. It depends on if they look like, you know, they're fun people to be around. Be like, hey, you got an opening?
I've run too many Call of Cthulhu games to think anything positive.
You better to be on the ground floor. Look, they're actually summoning an eldritch horror. It's better to be in on the ground floor than, you know, run and hide and, you know, die tired.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, the context of it being 2 a.m, pitch black, you see this group, and then the group runs at you. Like, I would reverse, I'd get the fuck out of there.
I probably would too, but.
Yeah. You'd like to think maybe you wouldn't, but you would. I don't know. It's legitimately creepy.
Yeah, so, like, I'm just picturing that, like, playing a video game, you know what I mean? Just, like, I'd be like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
That or, like, a John Carpenter movie or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm picturing, like, a YouTuber, like, playing that in a video game and, you know, streaming that and just them reacting, like, no, it just makes sense. No, that's legitimately creepy. I like it.
Oh, and wouldn't it be great if it wasn't even in a horror game? You're, like, playing a walking sim? It's just a walking sim, and then there's that.
But it's going to turn out that, you know, really these people were just, their car was broken down, and they
20
were
20 of them.
Yeah, there was a bucket. Okay,
oh, so they were clowns.
No,
they were clowns. What's that? Clown car.
No,
it was a bus. Their bus was broken down, and he mistakenly, you know, they weren't actually like chanting. They were like all cheering on the one guy who was like changing the tire.
The guy would have noticed the bus,
wouldn't he?
They lit the bonfire because they couldn't see. Well, look, when you see all these people, you just kind of glaze over details.
The bus was on fire.
No, they lit the bonfire because they didn't. Their flashlights were out of. You know, the batteries were dead, so they needed to be able to see to do the tire. So they made a bonfire because that's all they had.
You're making too many excuses for the cult. I think you know more than you're letting on.
Yeah, I think Mike might actually be in the cult.
And so he just, you know, misconstrued what he saw, and, you know, it was actually like a Gregorian chant revival club.
You know, that's why Mike may have a point on that. It could just be a bunch of Gregorian monks out there chanting.
That's fair. Nope.
Yep. Again, you remember that little period back in, like, the late 90s when everybody was into Gregorian chant for, like, a couple months and no one knows if we're joking?
Yeah, because it was, like, on the back of, like, Pure Moods. That soundtrack, like, compilation.
Yeah, like, oh, God, what was the name of that band?
Chant?
No,
oh, no, the one that started.
Was it an Enigma?
Yes,
it was Enigma,
an Enigma
did
song.
That one got, song with the Gregorian chant.
I listened
then, like,
to that
everybody
song.
Bought just the chant.
I listened to that song a week ago. That song is terrible.
It's just like a lo-fi chill beat, and yeah, then there's okay, chant it's not that terrible. Match.
Like the beat's fine and the chanting's fine. It's just the beat and the chanting are just there coexisting together with no, like, you know, synergy or, you know, meshing.
It's like nuts and gum.
Like, yeah. we need to, like, on the distraction hole, do an entire episode about the Pure Mood CD, because, like, it is such a weird CD.
It
and,
was
like
so
the best
weird.
Track is the DJ Datto X-Files remix, but it's such a
yes,
weird track to be included on there, because thematically none of the songs really go together either.
And, you know, we're gonna have to talk about those wooden displays in Walmart that, like, you had the headphones and you push the button,
yes.
and it plays like Pure Moods or like bird sounds.
Yes.
Know? Yeah, we got to talk about that. Anyway, that's the wrong show.
Kevin had Chant 2, not the original.
I did.
The second.
I had the sequel.
I remember. Do you remember? Do y'all ever see Animusic? It was CGI, like kind of like Rube Goldbergian, like it, basically it's like kind of crappy music, but they would do CGI like machines that would, like, you know, so like if you have plinking pianos, it'd be like something that's like shooting balls at a piano and they bounce off of that and they
no.
go through. So I have,
but
like
a friend of mine told me about it,
yeah, like, you'll have to look it up. It's called Animusic, but like I remember my parents were obsessed with that, and they had like both. Because it was one of those things you get on DVD, and it's kind of like a
like a screensaver for your television.
Yeah, yeah, early 2000s kind of like CGI, but the whole thing was like the I guess you'd want to say like the inventiveness of like how the music is being played, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So
this sounds like something they'd watch 3 minutes of on Best of the Worst on Red Letter Media and then like move on.
Like, it's the kind of stuff that you would have playing on a TV in a electronic store.
Yeah.
They'd have it on like Circuit City or something.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And it was
yeah.
Yeah, so look it up if you have a chance. But yeah, I'm starting to think of that shit.
Wow.
We're
going we're just going to have another Member Berry episode of Distraction Hole is what it boils down to.
Member? I member.
Anyway, so that's it for this week. Man, I'm really happy with how that fucking Phantoms and Monsters turned out.
Yeah.
So, Mike, have you got anything you want to plug?
His butt.
Hey. There you go.
Nope.
Okay.
I was trying to come up with something witty on the spot. Didn't. I failed. Failed my charisma check.
Gotcha. David, have you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to plug that on Spooky Dice Bag, we now have a Patreon thing. It's going to be called Above Table, where it's, you know, players talking about shit, might do some session zeros and stuff. I just edited the first one. Should be up relatively soon. On top of that, my Scrolls of Noctis, the little like diary of my character from the campaign, is now going to be...
I love those.
Yeah, it's going to be going up on the Patreon for Spooky Dice Bag first, and then on my site later, so that's going to be fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just going to plug our friend Nick, who's been on the show, has issue 3 of his comic Excavator live on Kickstarter. So head over to Kickstarter, look up Excavator Comic, would probably be the best way to find it. He's looking for $3,500 to get this published. He is currently at $1,786 with 60 backers and 12 days to go as of the time of recording. So head over to Kickstarter. Check that out. Let's get him to his goal, everybody.
Yeah, he was a guest on a previous Weekend Weird. We should have him back.
Yes. Nick is the fellow that did...
Bullwinkle.
God, did... Yes, the Bullwinkle voice. And I was doing Shaggy. Yes, we had a good time.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about the show, head to supernatpod.rocks. That is supernatpod.rocks. You can find a link to our Discord, our Patreon, our merch store, and every episode of this show and the Distraction Hole. So, once again, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. So until then, stay safe and stay frosty. Goodbye.
So I pulled up one of these Anna Music videos. It seems vaguely familiar. It's like this, all these things are like shooting ball bearings at like, you know, strings and drums and stuff. And I'm just sitting here going, wow. So I've seen some videos by this other guy, the YouTube channel called Wintergarten. It's someone in one of these Norwegian countries, but he's basically building this in real life.
Hell yeah.
Like, oh, wow. It's oh, this yeah, marble I've seen machine. That guy, the wooden marble machine with all the stuff in it. Yeah.
It's like drops ball bearings on, you know, xylophones and other percussion instruments.
Well, I think it's funny you said Mike wanted to plug his butt, and realistically, I want to plug my butt.
Yes.
So.
But I just on realized account of the must have...
On account of everything that I have a potpourri of all the stages of matter.
Boy, oh boy. Okay, let's end this. Yeah.